This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Quentin Kidd is a political scientist and chair of the Department of Government at Christopher Newport University. He joins me on the program. Quentin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Coy, how you doing?
Very good. We had the big summit today, the big conference between President Obama, the Democrats, the Republicans, and I was watching some of that online today, some of that video. Very, very interesting. And, of course, it made me think that the General Assembly, or I should say the Republicans in the House of Delegates in the General Assembly, they've already decided, they've already made their decision that that Virginia will opt out of any healthcare plan that comes out of Washington. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, about today's summit, surprise, surprise, there's no real agreement that came out of it. I don't think anyone expected agreement to come out of it. Republicans still are generally opposed to, not generally, but specifically opposed to a lot of what the president and Democrats want. And one thing that really gets under the skin of Republicans across the country and a lot of libertarian-oriented Democrats is this individual mandate requiring people to buy health insurance. You know, across the country, Virginia was among the first states to do it, but across the country, legislators are basically saying, you know, look, we're not going to be a part of that. We're not going to be a part of forcing people to buy health insurance. Government's job is not to tell you what you have to spend your money on. And so that really strikes a chord mostly in sort of libertarian, Republican-oriented circles, but it crosses over into the libertarian left as well a little bit.
It's ironic because the Republicans, who at first blush you would think, well, this is the party that really is representing the insurance of the interests of the insurance companies. The insurance companies are the ones who want that in the bill. I mean, they love the idea.
To make it even more odd, back when President Clinton was trying to get health care reform through Congress, the Republican alternative was the individual mandate. So that was the alternative bill that they put up instead of President Clinton's what was then essentially universal health care. But now the Obama administration has come up with this individual mandate. Republicans say, well, now we've changed our mind. That's not really what we want government to do.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University. So a lot of grandstanding today, a lot of staying on talking points, little theater, some optics for the television, but nothing really substantive. No.
Well, you know, I think what's happening is there's some, I think a lot of times we get sort of caught up in the day-to-day, minute-by-minute sort of play-by-play of politics, and we forget sometimes that there are tectonic movements that go on while all of the little shifts are happening as well. And I think what's happening with this healthcare debate is a tectonic movement. The president and Democrats realized that they had hit a wall with Republicans, and the only way around that wall was either they couldn't find a way around the wall, and so they backed up and they said, well, what we've got to do then is expose the Republicans as not having any alternatives and sort of call them on their bluff. If they say they really want to work with us, let's call them on their bluff. And so I think what's happening is that the Obama administration is saying, look, in a very public way, you guys put forward what your plan is. The Democrats are going to put forward what our plan is. And if you don't come to the table and work with us, we're going to threaten you with this nuclear option, which is to pass this on a 51-vote majority using something called reconciliation. And the Republicans, the Obama administration hopes, find themselves in a spot where they either have to come to some sort of compromise or risk losing it all in a 51-vote reconciliation process.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University about the big healthcare summit that went on this afternoon. Quentin, explain this to me. This is one thing I don't understand. And you're a poll guy. I mean, you have a polling research center at Christopher Newport that you direct there. It does a lot of great research. You have the Democrats saying, hey, we've got polls that show that most Americans support this public option, that this makes sense, it'll help bring costs down. And then the Republicans say, we've got polls that show that most Americans don't want this bill and don't want the public option. And who's right? I mean, where is the truth in this?
Well, you know, they're both right. There's an old saying, there are statistics, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. And polls would be a part of those statistics. You know, it depends on what you ask the public. If you ask the public about government health insurance programs, government competition to drive down costs and all, there's a lot of support for that kind of stuff. But if you ask people about individual mandates, the government requiring you to buy health insurance and that and those sorts of things, there's a lot of opposition to that. There's less support for that. And so, in a funny way, they're both right. And what had happened was that the Republicans had gotten the upper hand on the message. The Democrats hadn't effectively argued that, look, when we describe it the way we think it works, there's a lot of support for it. They hadn't really made that case, and the Republicans had very effectively made the case that when we describe it the way we see it, there's a lot of opposition. And so I think part of this summit was to sort of reframe the discussion, the Democrats hoped, in their favor. But the short answer is both sides are right. It depends on how you ask the question.
Quentin, how do you think this is going to end up in terms of a political play? Definitely an offensive move on the part of the administration. How do you think is it going to move their ball down the field, or is this going to hurt them?
I think it's going to move the ball down the field a little bit, because I can already sense a slight momentum shift, not necessarily in the public. I think the public is really frustrated by Washington, but within the Democratic caucus and within the administration, I can sense a momentum shift, and I can sense a kind of a momentum loss on the Republican side. And so I would expect this to move down the court for Democrats, and I think part of what the momentum shift is being caused by is a realization amongst Democrats that they either have to do something or they're going to lose worse than they might already lose in the November elections. You know, the Democrats are in a box right now. They've pushed this thing so far that if they don't get something out of it, even their own supporters are going to walk away from them in November, because they will have wasted a year and a half trying to get a health care bill passed, and then to produce nothing out of it will essentially be an admission that they can't get anything done as a party in power. And so they're stuck. They've got to get something done, and I think they're willing to go through reconciliation if they have to, which is to essentially ignore the 60-vote filibuster majority in the Senate, requirement in the Senate, and go to a 51-vote majority route, which would really ruffle feathers and make a lot of people in the Republican caucus angry, but it would get a bill through, and I think they're willing to do that.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd. He's the director of the Department of Government at Christopher Newport University. It really is fascinating to watch this taking place, and you can sort of see, when you talk about the box that the Democrats are in, you can see then the motivation on the part of the Republicans to try to prevent anything from happening. I mean,
well, sure.
The more the discussion goes on, the more they benefit. The more that nothing is done.
Yeah, that's why Republicans keep saying, look, we're willing to work with you, but you got to scrap what's on the table and we have to start over. Well, starting over, I mean, we're a little bit more than a year into this. Starting over would mean another year. And, of course, another year would be great for Republicans, because we have an election between now and another year. And so they would know that they would be able to go to the voters and say, look, the Democrats haven't been able to do anything, kick them out and send us back.
So you think politically the Democrats are motivated to get something done, ASAP.
Exactly.
Before the elections this November. Yeah,
exactly. From a political perspective, Democrats need to get health care off the table. They need to get something passed, get it off the table, and focus on some things that instead of making them look bad, make Republicans look bad. So they need to focus on maybe immigration reform, or maybe gays in the military, for example, stuff that doesn't make them look so disjointed and unable to get anything done. But they can't seem to get beyond the health care issue, and that's their big Achilles heel right now.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University at 14 minutes into the hour of 6 o'clock. Quentin, let's turn to a little state politics and what's going on in Richmond. What are the headlines that you're reading? What's jumping out at you?
Well, you know, what's really dominated a lot of the headlines recently has nothing to do with anything that really is going to affect you and I and everybody else in Virginia, which is Bob Marshall's abortion comments and disabled children. The oddity is, I think the budget issue in Richmond is so desperately depressing, and it's so complicated, and everyone's so afraid of how bad it's going to be, that you get these stories that kind of grab the headlines like this, when in reality we all probably ought to be paying more attention to how much the cuts are going to be, how bad the cuts are going to be. So we just passed what's called the crossover period, where all of the House bills that have passed get sent to the Senate, and all the Senate bills that have been passed get sent to the House. and the other chamber has to decide whether they're going to agree to pass the other chamber's bills like they're written, or whether they want to change them or not. And so, you know, we're kind of at that murky stage in the legislative process where there's not a lot of new news being made, but we're beginning to see some new news being made when one chamber rejects the other chamber's bill or changes it to a certain extent.
And the cuts that came out of the House budget bill were pretty severe, to say the least. I mean, just unbelievable cuts to state and local governments and what many would recognize as essential government services. I mean, we're way past cutting into the fat, I guess is what I'm saying, and we're sawing into the bone.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the House cuts looked the House budget looked a lot like the governor's Governor McDonald's proposal in terms of where the cuts should be. The Senate budget, the Senate's controlled by Democrats. The Senate budget looked a little different. Looked a little less severe on especially K through 12 education and on public health. But you know, it doesn't matter if it's the Senate or the House, the Democrats or the Republicans. The cuts are steep, and they're going to be really painful. They're going to be more painful not this year and not this coming fiscal year, but the following one when what little remains of the stimulus money runs out, unless there's another stimulus package that comes out of Washington, the second year out budget is going to be more difficult than the coming budget.
What should we be watching over the next few weeks?
Well, I think we should be watching the extent to which groups are able to organize and lobby to keep to protect what they feel is really important.
And that's at the local level as well, in all these public budget hearings that are coming up across the state.
That's not only at the local level, but it's the extent to which local people and local organizations rally in Richmond. So we're already seeing, for example, the arts community, which you probably have a lot of in Charlottesville, and so you're going to get a lot of that in Richmond. The arts community going to Richmond and saying, you can't cut every cent of the arts budget. You're going to kill culture in Virginia. The education community. You're seeing the hospitals now start organizing. They're all going to be converging on Richmond in the next 3 or 4 weeks, demanding that their slice of the pie not be cut as badly, decrying the horrible state that will be in if the cuts are made that horribly. And the problem is, if one or more of those is successful and others aren't, then the cuts are going to get shifted around a little bit. And so if the hospitals are successful in not having to deal with the level of cuts that looks like they're having to deal with now, then it's going to shift over to the schools or the arts community, for example. And so I think we're going to see a frenzied lobbying exercise in Richmond in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and it'll be fascinating to watch to see who's powerful enough to save their budget.
Quentin Kidd is a political scientist and director of the Department of Government at Christopher Newport University and an expert on Southern and Virginia politics. Quentin, always great to talk to you. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.